Welcome, Richard the Barbado.
Thank you, brother. Okay, wonderful. Well, good morning. God bless. Welcome. What I want to share with you this morning is a topic that I think is perhaps one of the most adventurous part about being a Christian. You know, you could study the Bible a lifetime. You can have the greatest academic knowledge. You could be a scholar. You could be a commentary. You can know where to go, what verse, what this, what parable. None of that will enable you to develop the relationship that God intended in the beginning without Holy Spirit. There are two things that are paramount a Christian needs. He needs the Word of God, which is the rule book of faith and practice, but equally important is the relationship that you are to have with your Heavenly Father that can only come by way of Holy Spirit. It says in the Bible, and we'll look at that in a little bit, that God is Spirit, and they that worship Him, follow Him, do His will, must do this in spirit and in truth. And that great prayer in John chapter 17, verse 17, he says, Father, well, just before that, he prays for the Father not to take his disciples out of the world. But he said in verse 17, sanctify them, set them apart with the truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus knew this. He knew what his commission was. He knew what his life was all about. He understood the Bible. He knew the scriptures. He knew what the Old Testament had said about him. He knew what his life was going to be like because he knew the Word. But equally as important is because he had the Spirit upon him. So I want to start there with you this morning. And we go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4. Prior to this, in Luke 4, it says that Jesus was baptized by John with the water. And after he was baptized, he went out for a while and was ministering and is beginning his ministry. And he entered into the town where he was brought up, in Nazareth. And in Luke chapter 4, I want to pick it up, actually in verse 14. And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread throughout all the district, and he began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he entered into the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, the scroll. He didn't have books like we have. It was a literal scroll. Now you can imagine, just for a moment, I want you to think about this. There were no chapters, no titles. This is how well he knew the scriptures. It was handed to him on a roll. He opened it up. And what does it say? He got to the place in verse 17 and opened the scroll and found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel. And the gospel means good news. This is good news. To the poor, to the meek, to the humble. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, to recover the sight of the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And he closed the scroll or rolled it back up and handed it to the attendant. Two things I want you to look at here. Our Lord was qualified to do what he did in his ministry and in his life because the Spirit of God was upon him. And he was commissioned by the anointing. He had the Spirit of God, and he had the anointing. He not only had the means, he had permission. It was his ministry, it was his mission to proclaim this good news, the gospel of the coming kingdom, and many, many things that we read about, but he had the authority and he had the commission from God Almighty to do this. He knew. He had everything it took to proclaim this good. He was complete. What made him complete? The Spirit and the truth. Thy word is what? You could say it. Thy word is what? Truth. It's the word of God with the Spirit of God that enabled our Lord to go out and fulfill this mission that he was commissioned to by the Father in heaven to redeem you and I back to God. You see, what most people don't understand when we teach them or we explain to them about the Bible, they don't understand why Jesus, why this, what's this all about? You see, we as God's people need to instruct because they don't know. Like Aldo was sharing, the sin that separated, sin is separation. We were separated from God because of the transgression and the disbelief of Adam and Eve. They caused this separation. Now, it's not what God had intended. The relationship originally that God had in mind was set. It was all set with Adam. Adam had basically two things to do. Be fruitful, replenish the earth. And by the way, see that tree over there? Don't eat from that tree. Two things. Replenish and fill the earth. And by the way, don't eat that tree. Because in the day you eat, dying, you will die eventually. That was the condition. We all know what happened. They didn't listen. Separation. He chose to separate himself from God. And ladies and gentlemen, ever since that day, God has been waiting and he's been looking to have that relationship that he originally intended in Adam back with humanity. What made it possible was the sacrifice of our Lord. He completed that which was separated in Adam. And unless we understand this, very simple, this is what we need to tell the world. This is how you reconcile people back. They need to know, like Aldo says, the state that we're in because of what Adam did. And unless we give them the full scope of the picture, then they'll say, oh, now I understand why we needed help. Because no matter what we did, no matter what man did, he could not get back to that original state that God wanted. The relationship. He loves us. He loves. He didn't create us to be separated from us. But we have a choice. Adam had a choice. Eve had a choice. And it's the same today. People have a choice whether they want to accept the relationship that God originally designed us to have with him as our Father in heaven and we his children. If we accept this, he is ready, willing, and able to make our lives originally the way he designed it. And that can only come by way of Holy Spirit. Because God is spirit. And in order to worship him or relate to him, it's in spirit and in truth. He knew, Jesus knew it, his mission. He was to proclaim this good news. He had the qualifications because of the Spirit, and he had the commission because of the anointing. What I want to look at a little bit today is how he related to his Father and the relationship and the obedience that he had to his Father by way of that which he had upon him, which is Holy Spirit, which is what we have available to us today if we choose to do it on his terms, not ours. God is the potter. We're the pottery. You could sit all day long with a lump of clay and come up with a little bottle. I challenge you to have this bottle tell you, well, I don't think the way, I don't like the way you might not, you didn't make it right. It's funny, right? Ironic when you think about it. He's the potter, we're the clay. I think he knew what he was doing. And in order for us to really live the life that he designed us to live, we have to come back to that point, realizing that we cannot do this on our own. We cannot live the life that God intended us to have with him until we come back to him by an accurate knowledge of the word, by the truth, and then that walk that we are to have with the relationship of the Spirit. I want you to turn to the Gospel of John, please. I want to spend a little bit of time looking at some of the records of this communication and of this relationship that God had with his Heavenly Father and our Heavenly Father, because this is the essence, this walk of the Spirit is the essence that God originally had in mind. He wanted a relationship, and he desires that still today. In John chapter 5, we're going to look at some of these records. And they're wonderful. And by the way, everything that we're going to be looking at today and discuss, I mean, this is not new. None of this is really brand new. But like what Aldo was sharing with that great section in Peter, how we're to bring each into remembrance, whatever we remember. So as we're going through these scriptures today and this information, listen. Listen to your heart. And I know that God will be saying something to you that he won't say to me. You see, we're to go to the Bible and ask God to open the scriptures to us, to explain it so that we can understand it. And if we ask, we shall what? We see. If we seek, we'll what? And if we knock, that's what I want you to think about today when we're going through the Bible. Ask God to show you things that you need to know. And he will. As we're reading the word, that's the Spirit of God in you. This is what God wants. This is what he designed him to be to us. So let's look how Jesus did it. Gospel of John. I'm going to start in verse 19. And these are sort of in between great and wonderful parables, which you can read later on. But in verse 19, it says, therefore Jesus answered and was saying to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself unless it is something he sees the Father doing. For whatsoever the Father does, these things the Son also does in what? Like manner. I can do nothing of my... We are talking about our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who, when we read the commission, came to set the captive free, open the eyes of the blind, make the lame walk, the blind sit. And now he's telling us, I can do nothing of myself? Who? Who or what is doing this? Or what is giving him the enablement to do this that he came to do? Because he's saying, I can't do nothing of myself. I think we all know the answer, don't we? Holy Spirit. Let's keep reading a little bit. For just, verse 20, for the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself is doing. Do you see the relationship? I want you to see the relationship that our Lord had with our Father. And please, if you leave with nothing else today, this is what God desires for you and for me. This is the whole point. The whole reason why we sit here, we read the Bible, why we... Otherwise, it's just like water running through a pipe. Yeah, here we go again. I've heard that before. And here we go. I told you in the beginning, this is probably the best journey as a Christian man or woman you can ever embark on. This is what makes it real. This is where the rubber meets the spiritual road. Because when we leave here today, it's a matter of you going out and witnessing with the Father and ministering to people in ways that no one else can. But you have to understand the relationship. I could do nothing of myself. Wow. Extraordinary. When you know the life and you know the works that he did. And that's what you and I are to do. Let's keep reading. It's great stuff. Verse 21, for just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he wishes. Drop down to verse 30. I can do what? Nothing of my own initiative. As I hear, I judge. My judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of him who sent me. How is this possible? When he opened that scroll back in Luke 4, which, by the way, is a quote from Isaiah. If you ever want to go back and read it, Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2. Come to proclaim, come to make God's presence known in this life. I could do nothing of myself. That which the Father tells me, that I do. Look at verse 36. But the testimony which I have is greater than the testimony of John. And chapter before, he was just baptized by John. And by the way, when he went to that baptism of John, it says the Spirit descended upon him and separated him out. It wasn't the water. Certainly wasn't the water. Come on, people. Water doesn't put you in touch with the Father of heaven, Holy Spirit. I think even Paul or some of the men back in, you know, what were you baptized with? And they said, well, we were baptized with John baptism. And he said, well, haven't you had the Holy Spirit? And I'm sort of giving you my version. And they said, well, we don't even know what that is. And then they were immersed in the Spirit of God. Water can only go so far. It's Old Testament. The Old Testament. We're talking about the Spirit now. That's the connection. In spirit and in truth. This is what makes you complete. This is what makes you able. This is what makes you an able minister, man or woman, to reach out and make the presence of God known in their life. When they see it in you, they'll see it. They'll be able to see it in themselves because we know what to give them. We know what to show them. And the reason why. They have to understand what Adam did. They have to understand the separation that took place. We were so far removed. God gave Moses the law, but the only thing the law did was to show them how messed up they were. It still didn't bring them closer to God. They thought by doing good works, they maybe felt good for a while, but they still didn't have what Adam had before he sinned. It took something much greater. And we all know what that is, the coming of the Son. Let's go to John chapter 7, a couple of pages over. We're going to look at a few more of these because I think it's important to really know and understand the ability that you and I have and that it's not about what we can do. Verse 28 in the Gospel of John chapter 7, Jesus cried out in the temple, teaching and saying, you both know me and know where I am from, for I have not come of myself, but he, talking about his Father in heaven, who sent me is true, whom you do not know. I know him because I come from him, and he sent me. He knew who he was. He knew who his Father was. He knew the ability that he had to do what he did because he had the connection. He had the means. And that means his Holy Spirit. He knew the Word and he had the Spirit. He was commissioned because of the anointing. He had the right to do what he did because God Almighty commissioned him to do it. Look in chapter 12 of John. We're going to stay here a little longer. John chapter 12, a couple of pages over. Drop in at verse 49. We're going to get right to it. Gospel of John chapter 12, verse 49. For I do not speak of my own initiative, my own agenda. I'm not here waking up in the morning thinking about, well, let's see, maybe I'll meet this one and I'll do this and I'll do this one or that. No. It wasn't about his agenda. But the Father himself who sent me has given me a commandment as far as what to what? Say and what to what? Speak. He didn't speak or he didn't say unless God in heaven told him what to say, told him what to speak, and that's how signs, miracles, and wonders are done. It's not about your ability, my ability, and it's not just the knowledge of the word. It's the Spirit of God alive in a man or a woman, and when God says to move, you move. And even if you're afraid and you're not quite sure, go anyway. Go anyway. And even if it doesn't seemingly work, like if you ever witness to somebody and you walk away and you say, gee, I wonder if they understood anything I was talking about. You know, and they go their way, you go your way. Well, when you get that feeling, I want you to think about this. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. But it shall not return unto me void. But it shall accomplish that which I please and prosper whereunto I send it. Don't be afraid to speak. You never know what God has in mind. But if you walk into a situation and you got the love of God in your heart and you speak out of that love, you never know what God has in mind. Somewhere, somehow, down the road, what you said that day may mean life or death to someone because you are led by the Spirit of God that is in you. Used to be a famous saying, better to have loved than lost than never to have loved at all. Better to have spoken the word than never to have spoken it at all. I challenge you, speak. You never know. Great stuff. This is what makes the Christian life, this is what it's about. This is what we've been called to do. Not just to be great academic, learned, I know the guy, I care Genesis, Exodus, I know all the books of the Bible, I can go here and go here. You know what? Who cares? And that's what most people would think of you if all you did was quote scripture all day long. It's the power of God in your life. It's the witness. It's who you are as an individual. And how you say and what you say that can make life or death difference to someone. Jesus knew that. That's why he said, I don't do this on my own initiative. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about the Father who sent me. That's wonderful news, isn't it? Let's go to one more. Oh, actually, where are we? 12, verse 44. Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me does not believe in me. Let's get this straight. But in him who what? Sent me. You see, he knew the priority. He knew the order of things. We have this same order in our lives. Verse 45 says, he who sees me sees the one who sent me. That's remarkable. When you really stop a minute, think about the words that you're saying, the things that you do in your life. It's not about you, it's about him. And God wants to make his presence known, and it's done through the Spirit. This is what makes you complete. This is what enables you. What gives you the witness that people, there's something here. I don't know what it is yet, but there's something here. I want to go to John chapter 4. Back to chapter 4 for a minute. Back to chapter 4. This to me, when I was reading this stuff and going through, I said, this is chapter 4. You know, the record of the woman at the well. We read this, and there are just so many wonderful things you can learn from this encounter. And in John chapter 4, they're talking about water, right? The woman's talking about the water at the well, and Jesus is totally blowing her away by talking about spiritual water, which she doesn't understand at all. It doesn't even make sense to her. She doesn't understand water, everlasting life. Well, give me some of this water, so I got to come to the well every day. I'm getting tired of coming to this well. I don't want to come in and drink water. And Jesus, well, you know, I want to, totally missing the point, right? Then you get to the most remarkable part about this encounter that I just love. I love this. And it starts in verse 16. For 16, Jesus said to the woman, go call your husband and come here. Now, how's that for a turnaround? Here we've been talking about water, and all of a sudden Jesus says, go tell your husband to come here. I want to talk to him. Where did this come from? I do nothing of my own what? Initiative. That which the Father tells me, that you think it made sense? You think Jesus maybe said, should I really say this? I mean, what has the husband got to do with the water? I mean, where am I going here? Watch what happens, and it'll blow your mind like it blew my mind. The woman said to him, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, you have correctly said, I have no husband. And by the way, you've had five. And I got news for you, lady. The guy you're with, he's not your husband either. Where does this information come from? Picture yourself in Starbucks. Getting a coffee. You got it. Yeah, you got yourself some coffee. And you know Starbucks, like I do, you can go to a table, get some napkins, put sugar, milk, and you're stirring your coffee, and someone's right next to you. And you sort of start up a conversation. Yeah, I've been on the road a little while. I got a little tired, pulled over. And hey, Starbucks, I know Starbucks. I'll come in here. And you strike up a conversation. And all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, in your mind goes, this person has substance abuse problems. They've been in rehab, but they're thinking about going back to using. And you're like, where did that come from? What do I do? Do I say something? Do I not say something? Most people would say, well, yeah, I don't want to offend anybody. I'm not going to think I'm out of my mind. But do you really know? No. Perhaps God may be telling you something that you need to know. You see, word of wisdom that God gives us sometimes comes out of the blue. But it takes courage, it takes faith. And it also takes something called the word of wisdom. Not only do we have information, but how we present this information makes all the difference in the world. And God will deal with you in light of your personality and in light of who you are. And you will be able to bring something around in that conversation that maybe that person just might need to hear. You have courage? You want to walk by the Spirit of God? You don't know till you go. You don't know till you do it. You don't know till you step out, because just maybe that might be just the thing the person needs to hear to convince them that something's going on here. And they may stand up and say, well, it was nice talking to you, but I got to go. And they leave. And you walk out scratching your head saying, guess it really didn't come to nothing. Nothing really happened here. Better to have loved and lost than never to have loved. You don't know. You don't know what will happen. They may respond and say, wow. Yeah, and all of a sudden they may open up to you and you can give them something. But even if they don't, that's my point. Jesus, go call your husband. What was that about? You're talking about water. And by the way, I know you had five and the one you... All this information. What did the woman say in the next verse? I perceive you are a prophet. What does a prophet do? Speaks for God. I do nothing of my own initiative. That which the Father tells me, that I do. He was revealing the Father right in front of this woman. And she perceived. How remarkable is this? Just when you think you understand something, and then something like this comes along. What's my point? Go. Speak. Don't be afraid. You have the Spirit of God. You have the Word. You are complete because of what our Lord has done and what He has introduced. We have the spiritual ability and the Word of God to make such an impact. And this is what it's all about. Reconciliation. We're going to read in a little while about the ministry of reconciliation. We'll get to it. But this is really what it's about. Bringing others to God. Providing a future that they never thought they needed, which Aldo taught about. So far gone. Didn't even have a clue. Didn't even have a clue without God and without hope. And yet you and I can bring something to the equation that no one else can. And in your own way, because God deals with individuals. And you have the Spirit. And you have the ability. You are complete. You have what it takes. Don't be afraid. Even like I say, it may seemingly be a dead situation. We never know. We never know what God has in mind. Great section, right? Great section. It's the Spirit of God in Christ in us with the Word of truth that makes us completely adequate to do the work God has called us to do. I want to say that again. It's the Spirit of God in Christ in us with the Word of truth that makes us completely adequate to do the work God has called us to do. If, one of the hardest words to accept in the Bible, if you choose, if you decide, this is what I want to do, if you want to accept what God has done, if you want to walk out the way He's intended you to walk out victorious, and always in the right place at the right time. We choose to do that. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all our ways we what? Acknowledge. And He will what? Direct the path. No matter what it may look like. You may be talking about water and then people. You may be talking about this and all of a sudden that. Don't doubt. Go, reach out, see what it's like. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, please. I'm going to look at some verses here that I think, again, underscore what it's really about and what we ought to do. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, start in verse 1. Paul is talking to the people in Corinth, and he's telling them many different things. It's a great book, but chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And when I came to you, brethren, I didn't come to you with superior speech or wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God." In other words, he didn't tell his people that he was talking to. He didn't try to flatter them with his academic ability, his ability to know the scriptures, and he'd be this big, you know, doctor of the law or whatever you want. He didn't come with that. Let's read about what he came with. "For I determined to know nothing," verse 2, "nothing except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in much fear and in much trembling." He related. Paul was relating to them, you see. "And my message and my preaching was not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in what? Demonstration of the Spirit." Demonstration of the Spirit and power. Why? So that your faith would not rest on the wisdom or the intellect of men, but on the what? the power of God. He was teaching them and showing them that in order for them to understand what he is communicating, it has to come by way of demonstration of God in their life. The reality of God in their life will convince you differently than it convinces you, will show you differently than how it shows you. But this is our God. This is how he communicates. He's personal. And he wants to make his presence known to you. And he does that by his Holy Spirit. This is what Paul is saying. I'm not coming to you with intellect or with great wisdom and insight. I'm coming to you in demonstration. Why? So that your faith can be enhanced, enriched. We all know faith comes by hearing, and hearing what? Hearing the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the word of God. When you hear something, or you sense something in your heart and in your mind, it comes by way usually of thoughts or words. Just maybe God is talking to you. That's where you want to be. That's the walk of the Spirit. You know the word. And then you just line it up. Line the information up with the Bible. If it contradicts the Bible, hey, guess where that came from? But if it aligns up with the Word, you know you're in the right place. You're on the right track. This is how Paul did it. He did it throughout his whole. This is how our Lord did it. This is the exhortation on how we are to do it. This is what God intended when he created Adam, the relationship. How to live, how to do. It only comes by being tapped into that which he has given you, and God is holy, and he is spirit, and guess what he gave you? Holy Spirit. It's really the crux of what makes us as Christian men and women complete. It's not only a knowledge of the word, it's the experiential walk of the Spirit. That's what makes you more than a conqueror. In every situation, and it's going to differ. Today is one way. Tomorrow is going to be something different. But what doesn't change, I am the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. God is the same yesterday, today, forever. God is spirit, and they that worship him and love him, like he told the woman at the well, are going to worship him in spirit and in truth. As I mentioned before, there is a condition. Go to Colossians, please. How could we not go to Colossians? It's our theme verse. Colossians chapter 2, if you will, please. In light of everything that we're talking about, in light of the walk of the Spirit, in light of what God has given to us, the point of why our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came, the whole reason behind why we do what we do as Christian men and women is not so that we could parade ourselves around as being some know-it-all. Look what I can do. Look what I know, what you don't know. That's not the point. We're here to help. We're here to serve. We're here to go out into a world that's broken. Aldo made that very clear. The world is broken. Adam transferred everything that God had given him to the adversary, the devil. He's the God of this age. He's running things for a little while. But we all know, because of what Christ did, and when he got up, he was like, ha-ha. Wah-wah. You thought you had me, didn't you? I got up. And when he got up, the devil fell really hard. He knows his plight. He knows where he's headed. And he's trying to do everything he can to talk you and me out of the reality of we being with him for all eternity. That's his point. Realize this one thing. The thief cometh not, but for what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I am come that they might have what? And have it how? Not only in this life, but in the age to come. And he knows it. And he'll do everything he can to talk you out of it. Get you everything to doubt. Get you to, you know, that's not God talking to you. He don't talk to you. You're not good enough. You want to know something? You're right. I'm not good enough. Who made me good enough? Jesus Christ. He moved everything out of the way so we can have this relationship to complete who we are for his purposes, for his will, for what he designed us to be. It's that walk of the Spirit, knowing the word and then reaching out to others that makes the presence of God known. And that's what we are to do. That's the whole ball of wax until the Lord returns. And then you know what? You're going to be rewarded for it. How about that? So don't lay up for yourself treasure upon the earth, right? Where moth and rust corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth or rust do corrupt and thieves don't break through and steal. For where your heart is, there will what? Your treasure be. And that's where we are going. That's why we have the Spirit. That's why we have the Word to bring this reality, to bring this relationship that was gone back. We're back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. We are back. Don't get talked out of it. It's just the devil trying to whisper in your ear. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. It's all a lie. We are complete, and we're back, Charlie. We're back. Colossians. Chapter 2, I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited about what God has given us. Colossians chapter 2, in light of everything that we're talking about, verse 6 says, therefore, and whenever you read the word therefore, you say to yourself, what's the therefore therefore? Well, it's in light of everything that we're talking about. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. He did nothing of his own initiative. He did nothing but what the Father told him to do. Walk like he walked. Develop it. You have the ability. You're complete. You have the Spirit. Walk as he walked. Verse 5, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him, established in your faith. Have faith. Believe that God is going to be there for you. Believe he's not going to leave you there alone. Believe he's not going to let you fall. He'll always be there for you in your faith. Have faith. Have faith. It's, oh, so important to have faith. Just as you are instructed, overflowing with thankfulness, gratitude. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy, empty deceit, according to the traditions of men, according to the principles of the world, rather than Christ. For in him all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you've been made what? Complete. This is what you are complete in him. What makes us complete in him is the power of the word in our lives coupled with the Spirit of God. Ladies and gentlemen, you are complete. You have the ability. You have the commissioning. You have the anointing. You want to know why you have the anointing? I'll tell you why you have the anointing. Go to 2 Corinthians. Go to the book of 2 Corinthians. Wondering about the anointing? You have it, boy. You have the anointing. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is the anointing. Jesus knew his mission. He knew what he was supposed to do. He had the Spirit of God, which made him adequate. He had the anointing, which gave him the commission. You and I, ladies and gentlemen, we have the same anointing. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creature. The old things are passed away. Everything that Aldo was talking about is gone. It's over. It's finished. Christ completed it. You are new. And everything you do, when you do it with the Word and the Spirit of God, is all brand new. Every situation is different. Every encounter is different. Every conversation is different. But you have the one thing that's constant. God in Christ in you and the ability to help others. Look at this. Lost my place. 2 Corinthians 5, right? I said, verse 17. Now, verse 18. All things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through who? Christ. And he's given to us the what? The ministry of reconciliation. Now listen to me very carefully. The ministry of reconciliation is God is not expecting you to go out and open a church, have thousands of people waiting online, and you got a ministry. No. The ministry of reconciliation is that one person at Starbucks. It's that one individual you're talking to. It's the one person who needs to know what you know because God is revealing it to him at that moment. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the ministry of reconciliation. It's that simple. It's that important. That's why he gave us the word. That's why he's given us of his spirit. That's the ministry of reconciliation. One at a time. One on one. When you go out today and if you speak to somebody about the Bible, that's more important to that one individual and to God than having a boatload of believers in a big building. Not about big buildings. Not about big cars. Big careers. God's not concerned with any of that. Ministry of Reconciliation, verse 19, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And he didn't do it by telling them of their sin. He committed to them the word of reconciliation, what it took. The word is what people need to hear to bring them back to God. Therefore, we are what? Ambassadors, I told you had the anointing. There it is. You have the anointing. Just as Christ was anointed to preach the gospel, you are anointed as an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ to speak this good news, this gospel that'll lead men and women back to you because you have the word and you have his spirit. Jesus had the word and he had the spirit of God was upon him. The Spirit of God is upon me. He opened that scroll and he said, in your ears today, this scripture is filled. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in your ears today, this scripture is filled in your life and mine. We've been called to represent. Christ represented God while he was here on the earth. You and I represent him today as ambassadors for him. We have the commission. We have the permission. And best of all, we have the complete ability. We have his word, and we have the spirit. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ through God. And God is making an appeal. Could you imagine? The God of the universe is making an appeal. And what is that appeal? We beg you, lovingly beg you, Christ. He's saying, on our behalf, be reconciled to God. He's waiting. The God of the universe is waiting, begging you, be reconciled to him. What a call. What a great, great calling we have. What God has called us to, he didn't leave us unequipped. He didn't leave us with half truth. He gave us the whole truth. He didn't leave us with half a savior. He gave us a complete savior. And I'm not even talking about the wonderful things that Jesus did to make us acceptable by sanctification, redemption. We've been paid for legally, justified. We have been made right in the eyes of God. Righteous. We've been made right with God. And now he's begging us, lovingly begging us, to be reconciled to him. Choice. You want to do this? This is how you want to live your life? In the end, the rewards we see through the glass darkly. Very darkly. We don't understand. The things that God has in mind for us are so magnificent. They're so worth it all. For the little price you pay now for people looking at you funny when you talk about Jesus. Or the ridicule, or the rolling of the eyes. Who cares? Who really cares? Don't let the devil intimidate you. He has no business doing it, has no right to do it. It's all a lie. It's all a sham. He knows where he's going, and he doesn't want you to miss out on his party. Well, I got news for you. His party is the eternal separation from God. He will be eternally separated from the God of the universe, where you and I will enjoy the fellowship and the coming kingdom, and after the coming kingdom, into the paradise of our God, back to what Adam had. This is what God wants. He wants to get back to what he originally designed it all to be. He made it a certain way, and he's going to get what he wants in the end. And he's inviting you. He's inviting you, and not only you, but he's inviting you to help others come to know that there is a God in this world, and that he loves you, that he cares for you, and he wants nothing but the best for you. It's nothing but glory upon glory when you really put it all together. So understand, the Spirit of God and the Word of God makes us completely adequate to do not only what he's called us to do, but enjoy the wonderful relationship that he originally intended for us to have with him. So with that, I'd like to pray. Gracious Father in heaven, we come before you today. We are so grateful and thankful, Father, that you just didn't design us to be a bunch of academic scholars, knowing this and knowing that, but the real heart of what you wanted was this relationship. And that, Father, you've made it available for us to have a relationship because of the word that you've given us and the power of the Holy Spirit, Father, to communicate with you the way nothing else in this world can communicate with you. We realize that you are spirit and that if we are to worship you, it is in that spirit and in the truth of the word. How thankful we are, Father, that your Son gave his life freely and he became the substitution of the sin that separated us from Adam. And we are so wonderfully blessed to know that we will be with you for all eternity and that, Father, you will never leave us or forsake us. And in spite of what life may throw at us, you're always there. No matter how dark the night may be, Father, it cannot put out the light of the love that you have for us in our hearts. So we love you. We praise you. We give you all the thanks, Father, for making such a wonderful, wonderful existence available for us. Help us to help other people. Help us to walk out, Father, as representatives for you in a really, really dark, dark world. We come with the light of hope. We come with the light of a wonderful future. So it's in your Son's name, Jesus Christ, that we remain thankful and thankful. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. 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 God bless you.